This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 140 tremendous radio stations. And streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Coming to you from the free state of Iowa and my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. And as always, a privilege to speak to you folks in Starnes Nation from the Liberty University studio. Todd is back on the book tour, and so he's out today, tomorrow. He'll be back behind this microphone on Monday, and it is my privilege to take care of business today. Lots to talk about, and as always, we encourage your input. Give us a call at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Some great guests on the program today. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we'll speak with Brianna Lyman. Ms. Lyman is elections correspondent at The Federalist, and she's going to be discussing how the left is saying Hunter Biden's gun conviction is the same as Donald Trump's conviction. That there, see, this isn't legal fair, lawfare. Once again, Hunter, by the way, being the sacrificial lamb for the family. Don't wish his life on anyone, but that's another conversation, and we'll pick up on this with Brianna Lyman coming up. She's with The Federalist at the bottom of the hour. A couple of members of the U.S. Congress, the Republican delegation, Representative Bob Good, scheduled to join us in hour number two, Representative Mary Miller, in hour number three, and in between, we'll speak with the great Jeffrey Lord. He's got a couple of pieces that have appeared at the American Spectator of late. He has a unique concept here that Joe Biden should just get out of the race, should voluntarily withdraw. Jeffrey Lord coming up in hour number two. In and around, of course, your calls at 901-260-5926. A couple of weeks ago, time tends to blur, but I think it was a couple of weeks ago, the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, testified before Congress and chastised them, scolded them for the things they were saying about the Justice Department, saying, in fact, the key classic quote, "I will not be intimidated." And the U.S. House yesterday said to Merrick Garland, "Oh yeah, hold our beer." The House voted yesterday to hold the Attorney General in contempt of Congress. 216 to 207, only one Republican voted no. Here is Merrick Garland's statement from late yesterday, quoting now. And, you know, if we had a laugh track on this radio program, this is the time we would use it, because some of the stuff he says is laughable. Merrick Garland, quote, "It is deeply disappointing that this House of Representatives has turned a serious congressional authority into a partisan weapon." All right, just stop right there for a moment. It is deeply disappointing that this House of Representatives has turned a serious congressional authority into a partisan weapon. Apparently, he's unaware of the so-called January 6th Special Commission. Apparently, he's unaware of, oh, I don't know, a lot of things that were done. But it's very different, you see, if Democrats have the majority, because everything they do is for the right reasons, you understand. Picking up the Attorney General's statement, again quoting, "Today's vote disregards the constitutional separation of powers, the Justice Department's need to protect its investigations, and the substantial amount of information we have provided to the committees," unquote. There are a number of phrases that come to mind that would explain or describe that statement. The only one I can think of that I can use on the radio is balderdash. It's a word we don't use much, but we should. That's complete balderdash. Now, this all stems, the tipping point here was the Attorney General saying, "I will not turn over audio of the interviews with President Joe Biden during the investigation of whether or not he should be charged with violating laws on classified document care." Garland says, and this makes no sense to anyone, much less me with my law degree, Garland says we don't have to release the audio because we've given you a transcript and because releasing the audio would jeopardize the investigation. Well, let's take those in turn. We've given you the transcript. How in the world can we possibly trust that the transcript is accurate? Given that this administration has doctored the transcripts when the president has one of those moments where the words just kind of flow together and we can't understand what he said. You might have listened to the program on Tuesday. Todd even had a contest. You could win a book if you could actually decipher what Joe Biden said in a statement at the podium. It was completely indecipherable. If it were closed captioning on a TV channel, there'd be nothing but question marks there. Have you ever seen that when you can't figure out what's being said and all of a sudden a bunch of question marks come on the screen? That's what was going to happen if you tried to run Joe Biden's statement through the closed captioning service. There were other times, you recall, from the podium when the president read the stage direction. In other words, in the speech, they put the word pause in there, telling him to pause so that the plants in the audience could applaud. Instead, he proudly read the word pause. But in the official transcript, it said inaudible. It was very audible. You all heard it. So why in the world, given that the executive branch, now you might say, well, Garland's the Justice Department, that's not the White House. It's the executive branch. It's the fact that they're all in it together. How in the world can you trust a transcript without being able to compare it with the source audio? And I would even give someone the benefit of the doubt that they just didn't transcribe it right. That happens. Mistakes can be made. So that's why you need to cross-check it to make sure no mistakes were made, or in this case, deliberate alteration not made. That said, the other Garland defense, we don't want to release the actual audio because it would impact a pending investigation. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought that your special counsel had completed the investigation. I thought this was off the table. This is a done deal. This is a closed case. This is nothing to see here. So if the investigation is closed, why can you withhold this information? Here we go. They're challenging the Republicans to file a lawsuit, which they know will drag on past anybody caring about Joe Biden's mental competency. If, in fact, a member of the Justice Department said, "We have enough to charge him, but we won't get a conviction because he's a well-meaning elderly man who is forgetful," where did that come from? It came from the interview. Don't we, as the citizens in a representative democracy, in a republic, have the right to hear exactly what they're talking about? If, in fact, we didn't charge him, we, the government, did not charge him because he's a well-meaning elderly man and the jury will feel sorry for him, where'd you come up with that? Let's hear it. But they don't want to let you hear it because it is as bad as you think. It is at least as bad as you think. Garland has also said separately, well, you Republicans are just going to use this for political purposes. Immaterial. Immaterial, Mr. Garland, according to the law. Immaterial, Judge Garland, because remember, he got this job plucked off of the federal bench. He was a sitting U.S. judge. Politics doesn't play into this. If you release this tape and all of a sudden, since it's in the public record, people are hearing it and it shows up in political ads, not our problem. So when he even raises the issue that Republicans would use this for heinous political purposes, he himself is committing the worst atrocity, the very thing that he is complaining the Republicans would be doing. Now, I also have no doubt that there are plenty of Republicans who would love to use this as a campaign issue. But as opposed to sham prosecutions, this is a valid campaign issue. If you go back to 2016, you'll recall that Barack Obama, then president, probably still now, but certainly then president, nominated Merrick Garland for the vacancy on the Supreme Court, the sudden and unexplained vacancy caused by the death of Antonin Scalia. And the Republicans, who had the majority in the Senate, said, we're not going to pursue this. There's not enough time, and we think the American people should choose. Now, you might choose in the election what president should appoint someone to the court. Now, you might say that was unfair, and you have a valid argument to make about that. But point of fact is Merrick Garland stood there and was introduced as a prospective U.S. Supreme Court justice and never got the chance to join the court. I would suggest to you, friends in Starnes Nation, that if Merrick Garland was not a Democrat hack before that time, he clearly is one now. I'm very willing to believe that he was a good and proper justice. I actually don't believe that, but I'm willing to believe it. But Republicans blocked him. Every federal judge, I dare say every federal judge, dreams of a position on an appellate court and certainly the U.S. Supreme Court. They only have nine of those folks at a time. Democrat attempts to pack the court with, I don't know, however many they need, 20, 30, 50, notwithstanding. It's a limited job. Not many people have this job. You want to have it. Merrick Garland was so close, and he was denied it by Republicans. So even if he were a level, even-tempered jurist before that time, you have to believe he isn't a fan of Republicans after it. And then he gets to be Attorney General, the consolation prize. Is there anyone who thinks that human nature might enter in and he might look at things in such a way that it just happens to stick it to the Republicans every time, the very Republicans that he might see stuck it to him? So here's Merrick Garland protecting the person who gave him this platform. He's been held in contempt, and that gets referred for criminal prosecution to where? Merrick Garland's Justice Department. So truly, nothing's going to happen. You know that. Just like nothing happened with Eric Holder. By the way, the last time Congress issued a contempt citation for a sitting attorney general. Of course, nothing's going to happen. He's the prosecutor. He is also the one putting his thumb on the scale on this. And so I would say to you, friends, this is not contempt of Congress. This is Merrick Garland with contempt for all of you as Americans. I'd love to hear what you think about this. 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment from the Liberty University studio. Just getting started on a Thursday, Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver information kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today.
Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. 901-260-5926. That's the number Matt used to call in. He listens to the Starn's program on 93.1 Super Talk in Jackson, Tennessee. Matt, thanks for taking the time. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you very much. But, you know, I feel awful. I mean, this is I don't feel good about what I'm getting ready to say. These people are going to have to be hung from the gallows. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about figuratively. There has to be some type of retribution for treason. And I know that sounds awful, but there has to be some type of, you can't commit treason and think you're just going to walk away.
Well, what would you like to see done? Because we can't violate, you can't lower yourself to the level of people who are trying to subvert the system. Is there not a way to prosecute and imprison people without taking their lives for these things? You'll have to give me the more specifics of your theory or of treason on this.
I'm just saying that our forefathers done it. And it'll prevent you from doing that again. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not a weirdo or anything, but just, you know, these people are going to have to learn. You can't overthrow the United States government and think you're just going to willy-nilly, you know, survive the things you have done. And I'm talking about the Democrats.
No, I understand. I understand. Matt, thanks so much for making the call and calling in, listening to the program down the road from the flagship in Jackson, Tennessee. Well, here's the thing. You need to show the opposition that they cannot get away with things, but you also cannot lower yourself to lawlessness. Somebody's got to be the adult in the room. Someone has got to uphold the standards of justice. I understand the frustration. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you think about it, Dr. Peter Navarro is in prison right now. Why? Contempt of Congress. Steve Bannon is set to report in 2.5 weeks. Why? Contempt of Congress. Those were prosecuted, and those at least had claims that a judge could look at. I mean, to me, if Steve Bannon's going to go to jail or prison for 4 months, then he ought to enter with his buddy Merrick Garland, and they ought to do it together. But here's the thing about all of this, and I understand Matt's frustration. Why are they doing this? Do they think we are all stupid? No, they do not think we are all stupid. They do think we can be manipulated. They do think that they are crafty enough to win on this. But the other thing is that nothing happens to them. And that's the problem. There needs to be the proper punishment for these wrongdoings. But it won't happen with Democrats in the White House. We'll talk with Brown Lyman of The Federalist after a break. Jeff Stein in for Todd on The Todd Starnes Show.
You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. If you're on the line, and I'm looking at you, John, calling in on the flagship, stay on the line, won't you? Because we'll take your call in the next segment. And the rest of you, line up. Want to hear what you have to say at 901-260-5926. Again, your call's in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Brianna Lyman. Ms. Lyman is elections correspondent at The Federalist. Ms. Lyman, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you today?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I am tremendous. You have a wonderful, thoughtful piece in The Federalist at thefederalist.com. And it's entitled, Media Pretend a Gun-Toting Addict's Conviction Legitimizes Legal Gymnastics of Get Trump Lawfare. I mean, basically, this comes down to poor Hunter is once again holding the bag for the whole family, isn't he, with this conviction? He's been set up to some degree.
He definitely is holding the weight of the potential Biden crime family allegations. And what's really unfortunate is that the messaging that the Biden family has taken is to try and blame this on his drug addiction. And that is such a slap in the face to the millions of Americans who either suffer from drug addiction or know someone who suffers from drug addiction to essentially use that as a scapegoat, right? To say Hunter Biden did all these horrible things, but because he was a drug addict. And it gives other drug addicts a bad name, right? It kind of associates them with criminal activity aside from illegal drug use, right? And President Biden thinks that that makes him more palatable to voters to show that he also struggles. But if anything, it just sends the message that Hunter Biden is getting off with a bunch of other crimes and everybody else would have been charged with them.
Until we actually have that tax case come up in September. And again, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
It's not only the tip of the iceberg, but the most important tax charges are not even being brought. Okay, so if you go back to 2014, 2015, that's where the tax evasion also occurred. But the Department of Justice, apparently, according to IRS whistleblowers, they slow walked the investigation into Hunter, which led to the statute of limitations expiring. Now, if we had someone, you know, as good as Alvin Bragg up there, he wouldn't care about statute of limitations. He would revive that case somehow, some way. But unfortunately, he is not in charge of this case right now. And so for Hunter, he gets to skate by on those 2014, 2015 tax allegations. And the reason that that is so preposterous is because that's coincidentally the same year that he was making, what, $80,000 a month for Burisma, the same time that Vice President Joe Biden told that the Ukrainian authorities that he was going to withhold aid if they didn't fire Viktor Shokin, and that is not going to be prosecuted. It's just so convenient that something that could possibly directly tie President Joe Biden to his son's foreign business dealings won't head before the court.
There are so many coincidences in all of this, and the fact that, to your broader point, Robert Hunter Biden would not even have been convicted of this trio of charges had the plea deal that he was given that nobody else in America would have been given not fallen apart because the judge said, whoa, this is way too good of a deal. So he was getting a pretty good benefit on the one side, and it's sort of like they got cocky and pushed a little too far, and even a friendly judge wouldn't go along.
Yeah, that's a great way to phrase it. I think Hunter Biden's team did him a really bad service by not reworking the plea deal, or by simply not have proposed, you know, basically getting him off on every potential charge, right? They could have made it narrow, and I think that would have stood, and that would have sufficed, and I don't think he would have been brought up on any other charges because he's a Biden. But they played their cards wrong, unfortunately. And what's really concerning here is that the whole message right now is that, well, the justice system is working because, look, Hunter Biden's in charge. This is far from it. In fact, this proves the justice system isn't working because he's being charged with the least damning allegations stacked against him, even though there is other evidence and other ways to charge him, because they just want to say that their lawfare against former President Donald Trump is justified. They want to say that, oh, no, the justice system isn't weaponized. We go after both sides of the aisle.
Brianna Lyman is our guest. Her piece on this topic is at thefederalist.com. She is the elections correspondent for The Federalist, and you find her on the Twitter X machine at BriannaLyman2. You know, as I was looking at the spin that the talking points from the left, all of this that came out after the conviction, I mean, basically, to your point, they're talking about how this takes away the argument that Trump is being picked on, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that that is going to resonate with Americans who are not already in the tank for Democrats? In other words, with Republicans and the all-important swing voters, are they going to be buying this, or is this just way too much for people to be expected to swallow?
I think that most Americans are not paying as much detailed attention to the Hunter Biden case as much as they were the former president. And so I don't think they'll necessarily draw the equivalency that the left wants them to, which is a benefit for Republicans. And second of all, I think anybody who has been following the Hunter Biden case and anybody who has just an iota amount of skepticism towards the government will see that these two things cannot be even put in the same sentence, and that any attempt to do so is a disingenuous spin from the left-wing media to, again, try to equivocate two entirely different functions of the justice system, right? One is that the justice system was working in Hunter's case, in that, yes, he's been charged with something that was on the law, that was on the books. It's a law that he knew about. It was kind of common sense. It didn't go far enough, but it's something. Whereas Donald Trump's case, they created a novel legal theory, then tested it out in a jury pool that voted like 90% for Joe Biden in 2020 and thought that that's fair. And I don't think voters will be blind to that come November, or at least I hope not.
Were you surprised by the verdict?
You know, it's funny. I don't think I was necessarily surprised. I'll be honest. I didn't think he'd get convicted on all counts. I thought there would be some, because there were two lawyers on the case. I hope that they would have used their best judgment. That being said, I wasn't necessarily surprised he was found guilty, but I was surprised at how upset I was. I did not realize that I would quite literally feel like I got punched in the stomach, and not even because I'm a supporter of Donald Trump, which I am. More so because I'm watching the collapse of the American justice system and the very foundations that this country was founded on in front of my eyes. And that is a very depressing thought as someone who loves this country and hates her government.
Well, and as someone who is a lawyer, it really bothered me as well. And I had hoped that the brethren who were lawyers on this case in New York with Mr. Trump would have seen that this just doesn't logically connect. Were you surprised that Hunter Biden went 0-for-3 or 3-for-3, I guess, depending on which way you look at it, in the Delaware federal case?
I was not surprised. I guess I was surprised in the sense that I really did believe that the fact that they had some, I think, recovering addicts on the bench, I thought that that would be to try to elicit sympathy. I'm not sure if it had to be a unanimous decision, but I assume it did. So I'm surprised in that capacity. But I think the evidence was so overwhelming in Hunter's against Hunter that it would have been hard to not find him guilty as someone who's trying to, you know, carry out the functions of the, you know, judicial system as a juror.
I have not seen very much of this in the news, but it struck me, and I apologize if you've reported on it and I missed it. But here is Robert Hunter Biden's stepmother, the First Lady, right there in the front row of court every day. Well, I understand supporting family. There's a bit of a juror intimidation approach there, but here's the part that hasn't, to my knowledge, been reported on enough. She left the courtroom, flew to Europe for the D-Day commemoration, flew back so she could be there another day at the trial, then flew back across the Atlantic for a dinner, and guess who picked up the tab? The American taxpayers. That seems to be a little excessive.
It's beyond excessive. And it's also questionable. I understand, like you said, showing support, but you would think that she would pick one day or do a consecutive days and not leave the country. And I do think that calls into question. Maybe that's some kind of ethics violation for the White House that Republicans could look into if they ever grow a spine to say, why was the White House wasting money, taxpayer dollars, so she could fly back and forth to see her son? Choose one or the other. So I really do hope that comes under consideration for Republicans. And when you mentioned jury intimidation, I will note, I thought it was interesting, too, that in the Donald Trump case, on the last day when jury deliberations were about to begin, Joe Biden's campaign showed up outside, right? And they said it has yes. nothing to do with, you know, jury intimidation. It was just because all the media was there. The media was there every single day of that trial, including days before and days after. And they decided to show up on the last day when the jury was going to be handed the case. A little odd.
In the prior segment, I talked about the Attorney General being held in contempt of Congress and the fact that the next move is a referral to the, wait for it, Department of Justice for prosecution. I shouldn't hold my breath on that, should I?
No, you definitely shouldn't hold your breath. You definitely shouldn't hold your breath on that, especially because the Department of Justice has to choose whether or not they're going to prosecute Merrick Garland. And they've made it clear with a memo, I think the Hill reported it first, that apparently because Joe Biden made this executive privilege and Merrick Garland says that's okay, then that's okay, right? So it's like, who watches the watchman here?
Final question for Brianna Lyman of The Federalist. Joe Biden has said he's not going to issue clemency or a pardon for his son. There's not a soul in America who believes that, right?
Not at all. He also didn't rule out commuting his sentence, which is obviously his last avenue to go down for it. And look, he's a parent. A parent is a parent is a parent. I don't think Joe Biden would let his son, you know, squander in prison should he leave office or should he not get reelected. And I just think that will once again further Republicans' rightful point that this is a weaponized justice system. Some people get off easy. Some people don't.
Brianna Lyman, TheFederalist.com, thanks so much for the excellent insight, and we'll continue to read your work online. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Brianna Lyman, elections correspondent at The Federalist. Her piece on this topic was published on Tuesday at TheFederalist.com. She's on the Twitter X machine at Brianna Lyman 2, and she joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, the stuff about a pardon. I mean, if Joe Biden loses, you know, that's on November 5th. Let's assume we know who wins that night. November 6th, Hunter gets the pardon. So does Joe's brother. So does everybody in the family. If he wins, Hunter and the family will still get pardoned, but on January 21st, the day after the inauguration. I mean, let's just face it. That's what I believe to be the case. Who in the world would think that he would now say, well, I'll consider my son for a pardon because I don't believe the conviction was just? Once again, word of the day, people, balderdash. 901-260-5926. Your questions in the next segment. A break now. Back on the other side from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Thursday. He's off on the book tour tomorrow, back behind the microphone on Monday. 901-260-5926 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. That's the number that Mike used to call in from Iowa, where he listens to the Starn Show on my station, News Talk 1540 KXEL. Mike, thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, Jeff. Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Are you going to be able to make it to when Todd comes and visits us in Iowa in 2 weeks?
Absolutely. You're going to introduce me to him because I always wanted to meet him, and the sooner the better. So, yep, 2 weeks, I'll be there. Have a pork sandwich, too. Absolutely.
You bet. We've got Iowa pork, Iowa corn. If it's Iowa, we're going to be serving it that day. If you're anywhere in the Midwest, folks, and you want to come meet Todd Starnes in person, you can do it in Waterloo, Iowa, on Saturday, the 29th of June. KXEL.com/IowaFest is where you can go to get your free tickets, and Todd will chat you up, take a picture, sign a book, whatever you need. So, Mike, what do you think? Hunter Biden found guilty on 3 counts. Did you expect that, and do you think that's going to make any difference come November?
Well, I wasn't expecting it, but I don't think he's going to serve any jail time any way, shape, or form. And before it's all over with, the president's going to, the current president, as much as I hate to say he's my president, but he will be pardoned in some way, shape, or form, either before or after he loses the election. So that's my thinking. And one other thing, tomorrow's Flag Day, everybody. Please fly your flag.
You served in the military, I know, and I thank you for that service and your continued patriotism. I'm so glad that you mentioned that tomorrow is Flag Day. So if you don't have the flag, get it. If you do have it, put it out there on the pole. Hey, before you leave, I just want to ask, do you think, and I'll just tell you my bias, I think the judge in New York is going to impose a prison sentence on Donald Trump. What do you think?
I'm afraid you're correct, and I'm sad to hear it, even think about it, but I think you're correct because they're trying to do anything they can to keep President Trump from either running or winning the election if he does. They're trying to figure out more and more ways, and this DOJ we have and the FBI is so corrupt. I talk to my friends and I say, I don't know how it can get more corrupt in Washington, D.C., but it seems like it does every dang on day. You turn around, it gets more corrupt. And there's so many Republicans are just about as bad as the Democrats. It makes me sick.
Yeah, there's a big swamp out there, isn't there, that the Uniparty. Not much good to anybody. Mike, thanks so much for calling in. You take good care, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks at the event with Todd.
Thank you, Jeff, and have a good day, and I'll be seeing you then.
Yes, sir. Mike calling in from Iowa, one of our great supporters of Todd's program here on KXEL. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the Coast to Coast conversation. Coming up in the next hour, by the way, a couple of tremendous guests. Return guest to the program, chairman of the Freedom Caucus in the House, Virginia Congressman Bob Good. He'll be with us just after the top of the hour. And just after the bottom of the hour, Jeffrey Lord, the great Jeffrey Lord. And he has some pieces on the American Spectator at spectator.org that we're going to want to talk about, including a provocative piece about Biden should withdraw. Now, keep in mind, Joe Biden has wanted to be president his entire life. You can just tell by the number of times he ran. And despite the odds, by gosh, he was going to be president. Well, you really think he's going to let go of that? I mean, common sense says so, but based upon some of his actions today, he was over there at the G7. Now get this. This is reporting from the Washington Post. Biden threatened not to sign the G7 communique. They all get there and they come up with this statement, kumbaya moment, right? Biden threatened to not sign the official document after the Italian prime minister tried to strike any reference in favor of abortion. The Italian prime minister said, I don't want anything in here about abortion. And Biden said, well, then I'm walking because I'm not going to get reelected unless I can convince baby killers to vote for me. So the document will not have the word abortion, but it does call for sexual health and reproductive rights for women. Looks like Italy caved on that one. By the way, I made reference a moment ago in the Trump case. I think the judge in the Trump case is secretly praying that when the Trump team appeals the conviction to the higher court grants the Trump team's request to delay sentencing until after the appeal. In other words, you often can do that. You can say, all right, there's no imposition of the sentence or even to have a sentencing hearing until the appeal is resolved. Why bother with a waste of time appeal if the appeal is successful? I think that judge is really hoping he doesn't have to pass sentence on, July 11th? because he wants to throw him in jail, and he will throw him in jail, but he doesn't want to have to do it because of the possible backlash. Just my speculation. Hey, join the conversation over the break, 901-260-5926. That's hour one. Two more to come. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Stick around, won't you? This is the Todd Starn Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, this is hour two of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. Coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He continues this week on the book tour. He'll be back with you Monday. My privilege to be with you in the Liberty University studio today. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. We'll take your calls in the next segment, but we begin this hour by going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. The folks in District 5 in the great state of Virginia are fortunate to have Bob Good represent them in Congress. He's chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Good, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Good to talk to you again, sir.
Great to be with you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Were you in the meeting with Mr. Trump this morning?
I was. We had a full house with, I would presume every Republican was president, but they didn't really take roles, so it certainly looked like a very full room, and he was obviously very well received.
Well, tell us just a bit about it. I want to talk about the Defense Authorization Act in great detail, but since you were at that meeting, you know, we always hear about whether the caucus is unified. Just give us a sense from your seat in the room about it.
Yeah, everybody recognizes that we've got to do everything we can to ensure President Trump is reelected on November 5. The country is so much worse off than we were 4 years ago, and the country cannot suffer or risk another 4 years of Joe Biden. Unless you're an illegal alien, you're really hurting under this president with obviously record high inflation, the open border, increasing violent crime across the country. Our military's been diminished. Our national standing in terms of being respected around the world has been greatly harmed. And all of that was different when President Trump was in the White House, and so we've got to do everything we can to get him back. And so I believe every person in that room is committed to doing everything they can to make sure President Trump wins on November 5.
Well, and as we reported last hour from the Washington Post, the current president threatened to not sign off on the G7 communique because there was talk about limiting abortion. So that shows you their focus as opposed to a strong national defense. And that brings us to the National Defense Authorization Act. Talk about the status of that. As I understand, it comes before Congress this week. How do you feel about things?
Great segue, Jeff, touching on the abortion issue, because as we know, the Democrat Party has become the party that celebrates abortion, loves abortion, wants more abortion. They look through everything through a diversity lens, an LGBTQ lens, an abortion lens, a climate lens. And, you know, this is not the safe, legal, and rare party anymore. This is as much abortion as you can have up to the moment of birth, anytime, any reason, even beyond birth, and you get to pay for it with your tax dollars. That is who the Democrat Party is, who the Democrat Party has become, and abortion remains the number one killer in the country. It's more than heart disease, more than cancer. Number one cause of death in the country is abortion. And so this NDAA, my hope is, as we get through this week and we continue to vote on many amendments today, really hundreds of amendments, started yesterday, it'll go through the course of the week, and we'll vote on final passage, expected to tomorrow. Can we get a good conservative Republican bill that I can vote for, that other conservatives can vote for, that focuses on lethality, force readiness, effectiveness, so we return back to our military being the toughest, meanest, baddest fighting force on the planet so that no one wants to challenge it. As you know, the Biden administration, the Democrats, they think the purpose of the military is to fight the climate war, whatever that is, the climate hoax. They think the purpose of the military is a diversity experiment, a jobs program, a social experiment, that the more transgender people we have in the military, the more LGBTQ and the more critical race theory that we put into our military academies, and that we force our military onto electric vehicles. And that we kick out members of the military if they're patriots, if they're conservatives, if God forbid they're Trump supporters, that we kick out members of the military for not getting a vaccine that they don't want or don't need, that we don't fully restore those who've been harmed under the COVID policies of this administration, this president. So a lot of things we need to correct in this NDAA. My hope is we'll get a good one that we can vote for, and we don't have to vote against a Democrat bill that continues to harm our military and weaken it and take the focus off what the military is supposed to be about.
Well, for years, we learned, thanks to Rush Limbaugh, that the purpose of the military, the purpose of war, specifically, was to kill people and break things. I think that was the phrase. And we have gotten so far away from that, the military is nothing but a social experiment.
Indeed, you're exactly right. We want to have the best military so that we don't ever have to use it. And President Trump actually talked about that this morning. These people that are even on our side who just want endless wars and want to send our troops everywhere, send our resources everywhere, get us entangled and involved in these other conflicts around the world that don't directly impact our national security interests. They want to borrow, you know, $100 billion and send it overseas, funding Hamas, both sides of the Israeli conflict, you know, $60 billion more. Now we're up near $200 billion to go to Ukraine. But that is a big problem for our country.
We're speaking with Congressman Bob Good of Virginia. He's called in on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Thursday. You said you were hoping that there could be a bill with amendments that you would feel good voting for. Do you think there is a danger that there will be too many things either added on to it to make it bloated or not enough good things to make it the proper bill that could lead you and perhaps others to say this is not the bill?
I am concerned. We had a couple of amendments fail yesterday. There was an amendment to prevent any of the resources in that bill to be applied towards electric vehicles for the military, and that amendment failed. Can you believe that a Republican majority didn't pass an amendment to ban electric vehicles funding in the military? I mean, how in any way is there an electric vehicle that's going to be better for our military in the theater of war than a gas-powered vehicle? So I'm concerned about it. There's a critical amendment. Beth Van Dyne from Texas has an amendment to end the abortion travel policy, paying for abortion in the military. That's a critical one that needs to pass. You know, I, in good conscience, would obviously have great trouble and wouldn't be able to vote for a defense bill that funds abortion. That's long been not the case until the Biden administration unlawfully had reversed policy with that, and so we've got to take that out. And so I'm hopeful that every Republican would vote, irrespective if they support abortion, they ought not to believe that it's paid for with our tax dollars.
And to that point, you would like to think that Republicans, which is, I mean, you're a big party. You've got people who have different viewpoints. There's nothing wrong with that. But some of these core issues, if you can't get this across the finish line, and I'm not even going to ask about, you know, how something would fare in the Senate, because the point is you've got to do your job and let the American people know that you're doing your job and let the rest of it fall where it may. But if you can't get a majority on some of these core issues, that's a real problem for the caucus to do anything and to go before the American people and say, reelect us and add to our numbers.
Well said, Jeff. Our job is to do our job, to pass the best Republican bills out of the House, to give us the strongest negotiating starting position with the Senate, and then to go into a fight and be willing to fight And we ought to be able to get half of what we want at least. What has been happening is we decide, leadership decides, well, what will the Senate take? What will the White House sign? Well, gosh, we don't want any disruption in the policies in the government that we complain against. We don't want to, you know, stop the border invasion by not funding it. We don't want to stop the weaponization of the government against conservatives by stopping it and defunding it. We don't want to defund the very policies that we complain about and let those expire. So let's just keep giving the money while we complain about it. That's what we've been doing for a year and a half. That's got to stop. We got to pass good conservative bills and then have a real fight and make the Senate at least meet us halfway on the ultimate policies that get put into law.
That is such a great point, Congressman Good, that what the House has been doing is settling on its principles in hopes of being liked by the Senate, if you will, my phrase, not yours. And then you go and, and try to merge two bills together, and they want to compromise at that point. You've already compromised so much. And so you need to go in with a strong point so that you come out of it with something that's worthwhile.
For a year and a half, we've been exercising or executing preemptive surrender. So here we come to September 30, and this NDA is just a precursor to this, but we get to these 12 appropriations bills we're required by law to pass by September 30 to fund the government without disruption. And so what we ought to do is send the Senate 12 good conservative bills that reflect our priorities, reflect the reason the American people gave us the majority, you know, back in November, back in November, and that reverse the policies that we run against, we campaign against, that we complain about, that are destroying the country, and cut our spending levels, and send that over there, and then tell the Democrats, we have funded the government, you know, we'll negotiate with you here, but we're not afraid of a government shutdown, we're not afraid of a temporary pause in the operation of the non-essential part of the government that, frankly, we don't, most of which we shouldn't be doing anyway. Because if you're afraid of that, and we have demonstrated fear of that and unwillingness to risk a shutdown, then the Dems know you're going to cave and they're just going to do what they want and dictate to you out of the Senate. And we have acquiesced to that so far in the year and a half that we've had the majority.
Before I let you go, Congressman, great appreciation for your time, by the way. Another busy week in Washington. But last hour I talked about the House holding the Attorney General in contempt of Congress. Now, obviously, he's not, and his agency is not going to approve prosecution of him for that, but it was an important step to make regardless, was it not?
Your point, again, is well made. That's our job to do our job. And so, yes, we should vote to hold him in contempt and to do what we can. Yes, unfortunately, that referral goes to his office and he'll ignore it. But then we've got the opportunity, Lord willing, come November to pursue it. Whatever laws have been broken, abuse of power and so forth, weaponized government by these Biden administration officials, let's show the stomach, the wherewithal to hold them accountable next year. In the meantime, going back to what we just talked about, we could defund or reduce funding the FBI, the DOJ, the Attorney General's office, and so forth. We could hold them accountable by not giving them the money, hit them where it hurts. We could do that in the spending bills if we had the resolve to do so.
Congressman Bob Good, chair of the House Freedom Caucus from Virginia, thank you for the excellent conversation, as always, and for being so gracious with your time. I appreciate it, and keep up the fine effort.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless.
Congressman Bob Good joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line with so much going on there in the district. And again, the House Republicans met with number 45, perhaps number 47. And you got his analysis from that having just happened a bit ago. What do you think about what the congressman said? 901-260-5926. That's the number, 901-260-5926. And we'll take your calls from the Liberty University studio in the next segment. Short break now, back on the other side. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and a Thursday edition of the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Jeffrey Lord joins us after the bottom of the hour. 901-260-5926. That's the number Dave used to call in from North Carolina, where he listens to this fine radio program on WSJS. Dave, thanks so much for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm surprised his judge. I've been willing to bet he won't put a verdict down because I think he's starting to get a little bit spooked. And if he was to send Trump to jail, he would have to quit his job and go into hiding because, you know, there'll be a lot of people with rifles while we're looking for this guy. And if he doesn't give him a verdict and then Trump gets elected, then Trump's going to come down on him. So personally, I was a judge, I'd probably resign and not even give a verdict. I mean, it blows my mind. You know, I would not want to be the judge on the other side of that seat that gave that judgment to Trump, because I'd be too scared of what might happen to me when I walk out the front door one day.
And obviously, we're not advocating physical harm to any individual, a judge, or anyone else. But that's sort of, I mean, it's sort of like, to me, Dave, the judge has handled all of these cases. Coincidentally, all of these cases where he can stick it to the Trump people, he's done it, right? And so it's far more than a coincidence that he's been the one holding the gavel. And it reminds me of the old story about the dog who loved to chase cars. Then one day he caught the car. Well, what does he do now? He can't drive. Well, here's the judge. He's always wanted this situation, and now he's got the chance to throw Donald Trump in jail. And I bet he does not want to do it because of a whole variety of factors. He's probably really hoping that appeals court says, no, don't bother doing a sentencing until we're done with everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I bet you at night he stays at home in bed just thinking about that, like what you're talking about. If I was a judge, there's no way I would have took the case. I would have walked away from it.
Well, now, keep in mind, and I don't have factual basis for this, but isn't it interesting that this same judge's daughter does Democrat Party fundraising, and this same judge's daughter all of a sudden started getting a lot more business when her daddy got assigned this case? I mean, it sounds like it's not just the Biden crime family we need to think about here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do have a point there. You really do. This reminds me more of a John Gotti case, where they're just trying to think of anything they can to come down on the guy.
Yeah.
So, I really do. I think that's what's gotten to the point. It don't have anything to do with what he's done. It's just the party he supports, and they don't want him back in the White House.
Dave, that's an excellent point, and I thank you for listening and calling in from North Carolina today, listening to the Great Starnes affiliate, WSJS. Look, the fear that Democrats have that Trump is going to come in, this is not retribution. Okay, you know, there are a lot of people saying, well, he's got a list and he's going to come in, and all of these media types and politicos saying, oh, I'm afraid he's going to round me up and throw me in jail. No, what they're really afraid of is that he's going to continue to drain the swamp. What they're really afraid of is that he's going to expose their wrongdoing. What they're really afraid of is that he's going to take their really cushy lifestyle and poke a hole in the balloon. It's not that he's going to go round up Democrats and throw them in jail. I truly think, and again, the statement about his retribution, if you will be success. A successful America with his principles and policies. That's going to be how you define any revenge. And they're deathly afraid that he's going to uncover all of the shenanigans. Look, they're afraid he's going to uncover that 2020 was stolen. They're afraid he's going to uncover that J6 was organized by the deep state. They're deathly afraid he's going to expose all of this. And that's going to hit some of the Uniparty people too, by the way. They may have an R by their name, but, you know, Biden is a complete disaster for the country, but they're concerned as well because Trump is going to threaten their cushy little lifestyle. You know, I've said for years, decades, the number one goal of a politician, and politicians are different than every elected official, all right? But you understand the difference. The number one goal of any politician is to get elected. The number two goal is to get reelected, because once they've had that taste of it, oh, it's really hard to go back. And that's why they're afraid, on both sides to some degree, about Donald Trump. Because can you imagine if he gets in and exposes everything that they've done over the past 4 years and beyond? Well, that could be fun, actually. Jeffrey Lord would love to see that, I bet. We'll talk to him after this break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd from the Liberty University studio. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio. This is the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from my home base in Iowa. Todd is back on the road with the book tour tomorrow. He'll be back behind this microphone on Monday, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But I'm pleased to welcome to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line the great Jeffrey Lord, contributing editor to the American Spectator. Mr. Lord, Jeff Stein in Iowa filling in for Todd. Good to talk to you again, sir.
Well, how are you? Good to talk with you.
I am quite well. I am doing better than Joe Biden, and that was a low bar, I understand. But Todd has just posted on the Twitter machine a video of Mr. Biden literally wandering away from the other leaders at the G7. And somebody had to, one of the world leaders had to grab his arm like, come here, Grandpa, let's come back over here where the attention is. I mean, it's tragic and it's scary.
Well, it is, and I'll tell you, I have a personal perspective on this. My late mom passed away in 2018 at 99. Mm. When she got to be about 96, 97, she started slowly, ever so gently, down the descent into dementia. And I was taking care of her, and, I could see it. I mean, I was living with her. I could see her every single day. And it's never, as I say to people, it's never a drop off the cliff, sharp kind of thing. It's this gentle descent. And I keep telling people every time I look at Joe Biden, I see good old mom. And the incident that you just described is a perfect example. He loses track of where he is. He doesn't know where to go. And the key is watch his face, watch the eye, because he's clearly lost and, you know, this business that he was at this Juneteenth celebration there in the White House, on the White House lawn or whatever. And you just watch him, the body language, his eyes. He didn't know what was going on all around him and had to be, you know, sort of helped and prodded by some of the people right there with him. You know, now the serious problem with this, it's one thing for Americans to notice this, and they do just watching television. But it's another thing to realize that Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un and the mullahs in Iran are taking note of all of this. Because I think, frankly, I think one of the reasons Ukraine was invaded was because Vladimir Putin thought, you know, he could do this and get away with it. Ditto Hamas and Israel. That is a serious and dangerous problem for somebody who's president of the United States.
I appreciate you sharing your family situation because I had something quite similar with my mother and then with my grandmother on the other side of the family. And there is nothing more heart-wrenching than to visit the person in a care facility and before the car is even out of the parking lot as you leave, have your loved one say to the staff, "Sure wish Jeff would come visit sometime." I mean, that is—it's just such a kick in the gut, and so many of us have experienced it. And I think, Mr. Lord, that's what makes this so important. The American people know what's going on. We've all dealt with it with a loved one. We have seen that somewhat fearful look in the eyes, the feeling of not knowing what's going on. It is tragic. It brings up this. You know, again, our familiar experiences, but to be rather blunt about it, this is the leader of the free world who's in charge of the nuclear codes.
Well, that's the scary thing. And, you know, having worked for a president of the United States, that would be President Reagan.
Yes.
I mean, I know that the attention on whomever is in the White House in this day and age is unrelenting. They follow you around all the time. They want to, they, meaning the media, they want to know what's going on with this, that, or the other thing. The president said A today, and And 2 days ago, he said C or B or Z or what have you. To be in that relentless spotlight in this situation is not good. And it's something that just can't be hidden. You know, this Wall Street Journal article that was out the other day, fairly extensive about people who've dealt with him saying that he's slipping in private. Well, I mean, I think most Americans who watch the television news already know that. You know, they don't have to be in the White House with him to know. All they have to do is just have the news media television cameras follow him around as he does his public part of his job. And it's not good, not good at all. And as I say, the real danger is, number one, his political danger is that people are looking at him and they're going to contrast him. This debate on June 27th with President Trump. Now, he's got to stand there. I don't know how long the debate is, hour and a half, whatever it is. But both participants have to stand there behind a podium and do this debate. I think a lot of Americans are going to be watching very closely to see if Joe Biden can just literally do the most basic physical thing, which is stand there. And that's before you even get to, can he express himself in an understandable sentence? And then the third thing, ironically, is he telling the truth? Because in the last debate he had with then President Trump, he denied that his son was doing any business with China. Well, of course, we know now that was absolutely, totally untrue. So this debate is going to be very, very interesting, and there are going to be repercussions. And the other political factor that doesn't get too much attention, and I think for a reason, you've got a lot of people in the Democratic hierarchy, perhaps the most illustrative is Bill Clinton's friend James Carville, who are quietly talking and saying, this isn't good. He shouldn't be running. We should put someone else in. But they get into a political dilemma because the minute they go down that road, you know, Kamala Harris says, here I am. And they're not all thrilled with her either.
Jeffrey Lord, a contributing editor to the American Spectator, his piece at spectator.org is entitled Biden Should Withdraw. He's joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today on the Todd Starn Show. You know, this is something, the debate is 2 weeks from today on the calendar. And I had said at the time that Mr. Trump accepted the rather odd invitation by video, heavily edited video that Mr. Biden's people put out, I understand why he accepted anytime, any place. But if Biden falls apart, and I think that's as likely as anything else, despite what modern pharmaceuticals they might have, I just wonder that this gives the Democrats plenty of time to come up with some alternative since the convention is so much later.
Well, possibly. And the only precedent that I can think of this, and it didn't go well, I was still in college when this happened. This is 1972.
Yes.
And the Democrats have nominated, through a series of primaries, they have nominated South Dakota Senator George McGovern, quite the liberal in his day.
Yes.
So, okay, so the Democrats nominate them. But in the fashion of the day, they wait until the convention for the nominee to make his choice for VP. He picks the young and up-and-coming, very articulate, attractive Senator Thomas Eagleton from Missouri. Okay, great. So he's officially nominated. They do the bid where the nominees uphold hands, you know, at the convention rostrum and all this. They leave the convention, and within a week, there comes a story that when Senator Eagleton was making his rise from attorney general to senator, his campaign would be over in November, and he would be so depressed by the lack of activity suddenly that he had to go to a psychiatric hospital and was admitted. Well, you can imagine in the day, once this came out and you know, amazingly, in the day, the liberal media was more intent on just the facts. When this came out in the Washington Post or the New York Times, all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And Senator McGovern finally was you know, called on to get him off the ticket, and which he did, and replaced him with Sergeant Shriver, the Kennedy brother-in-law there,
mm-hmm.
Who'd been ambassador to France and all of this kind of thing. So there's just utter chaos when you do something like that. And I can only imagine if, in fact, they get to a point where it actually happens that Joe Biden leaves the ticket, wow, you're going to see so much chaos surrounding that. All I can say is invest in popcorn stock.
Well, and also Senator Eagleton, as I recall from that time, had electric shock treatments, et cetera, and
yes.
People didn't understand that, it was an example of lack of vetting, obviously, of candidates, a different time,
right.
50 years ago and all. But that also brings me, and you know, there's a T-shirt and a mug that's being sold that says something to the effect of, I need a new conspiracy theory. All my old ones have come true. And so I know I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but these days, more and more of these are happening. But the fact that they're looking to do an online early nomination, the official vote, because they screwed up getting on the ballot in some states, that's going to present something very interesting, that once he gets officially nominated by that online process, if they go through with that, then that's locked in. The delegates, in essence, have already done their jobs. And by the time of the convention, the delegates are irrelevant, and you could have the ruling junta at the DNC decide who should be on the ticket, and nobody can stop them.
Well, that's right. Not to mention, it sounds to me like they're trying to do this by Zoom.
Yeah.
Instead of the typical convention where the nominee stands there on the stage, you know, giving a speech and all that kind of thing. They have a real problem on their hands, and once one problem vanishes, you know, they've got another and another and another. And all President Trump has to do is just show up at his convention, announce his nominee, and he's set to go. So we will see.
Who does Jeffrey Lord think Mr. Trump should consider?
I tend to think it's either going to be Senator Tim Scott or Senator Marco Rubio. Possibly Elise Stefanik. I think, and this is just my supposing here,
sure.
That there's going to be attention made to a black nominee, Hispanic nominee, or a woman nominee, as opposed to another, no disrespect to Mike Pence, whom I know and like, but I mean, as opposed to just another white guy who's got no a particular appeal to some of these other groups. And with it's very clear that President Trump wants to make serious inroads in both the black and Hispanic vote. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he chose one of those.
The chance of Joe Biden voluntarily giving up the job that he has coveted his entire life to me seems very slim. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and therein lies the problem. It's when you come right down to it for Democrats, it's Joe Biden himself, not to mention Dr. Jill. And, I mean, you know, someday we are going to find out what was really going on in the Biden White House, with all of this. You know, for those of your audience who may not be familiar with the history, in 1918, in the second term of Woodrow Wilson, of course, he helped win World War One. He goes over to Paris to negotiate the Treaty of Versailles. It's got the League of Nations in it, which was his big thing. He comes back, finds out that the League of Nations is not popular, so he decides to go on a cross-country train trip to whip up support for the League of Nations. Well, he does. He gets outside Boulder, Colorado. He's not feeling well. They stop the train, take him off, walk him around in a farmer's field, then put him back in bed. He gets up in the morning. He's supposed to deliver a speech, this time in Kansas City. His wife, who was with him, takes one look at him and says, "You're not doing it. We're going back to the White House." They do, in fact, turn the train around. They go back to Washington. 2 days later, his wife gets up in the morning and finds him unconscious on the floor in the bathroom, his head bleeding. he'd had a stroke. Well, what do they do? What they do, the doctor, the physician who was part of his inner circle says to Mrs. Wilson, you can't bring any decisions to him because it'll add too much stress and it could kill him. So who makes the decisions in the Wilson White House? Mrs. Wilson, yeah. Which they didn't realize at the time, which the larger public did not realize at the time. Only later, after he was gone, did that sort of come out. Now, I'm wondering here, when are we going to find out what's really going on inside the Biden White House? What role does Dr. Jill play? What role do the staff people play, et cetera? We may not find out in our lifetime, but I think there is a story there.
I think Jeffrey Lord, as usual, is correct. Mr. Lord, thanks so much for the excellent conversation, as always. Take good care. Good to talk to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Jeffrey Lord, contributing editor to the American Spectator, spectator.org, for all of his writings. 901-260-5926. Join the Coast to Coast conversation from the Liberty University studio. After this short break, Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. You find me somebody better than Jeffrey Lord. I dare you. Wow, that was a fun interview. Coming up next hour, Congresswoman Mary Miller from Illinois. And we're going to talk about Title IX and what she's trying to do to stop the Biden administration from wrecking women's and girls' sports in America. That is coming up just after the top of the hour. So when we were speaking earlier this hour with Congressman Bob Good of Virginia, he talked about being at the session where Donald Trump met with congressional Republicans. He spoke afterwards. Listen to this.
So what's happening to our country is of great concern to the group of people standing alongside of me. And I just wanted to say that we have great unity. We have great common sense. A lot of very smart people in this room and a lot of people that love our country. They love our country beyond just about all else. And the only thing that maybe supersedes it is their family and maybe their faith in certain instances. And that's very nice. But they want this country to be great again, and we're going to make it great again.
Contrast that with what's going on at the G7, where the current occupant of the office threatened to not sign the official communique if it limited abortion rights. Whereas they had, I don't know, a skydiver landed and all of them are standing there, all the world leaders, and they're all paying attention to the skydiver, and the current occupant of the Oval Office stares off, turns around, and walks away from the group towards somebody else far away from where the action is. And another one of the world leaders had to walk over, grab him by the arm, and gently bring him back to what he was supposed to focus on. Those are the two men 2 weeks from tonight who will be, quote-unquote, debating. In the words of Jeffrey Lord, buy popcorn stock. Hour two in the books, hour three still to come. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Come on back to the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. Coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Coming to you from the Liberty University studio at my home base in the free state of Iowa. News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd is off on the book tour tomorrow. He'll be back behind the microphone on Monday. pleased to be piloting the ship today. 901-260-5926. That's how you can reach us to continue this coast-to-coast conversation. We'll take your calls in the next segment, but we're going to spend the next, 10 minutes or so with Congresswoman Mary Miller from the 15th District of Illinois. Congresswoman Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you today?
I'm great. Nice to have the opportunity to bring light and truth into the darkness of the left's agenda.
You know, I can remember, I'm 61 years old, I can remember when I was in high school, because of Title IX, my high school started a girls' basketball team for the first time. My class was the first one to have girls' basketball in junior high and high school. It was a huge thing. It was so rewarding for the individuals who were participating in it. And the Biden administration is casting those young women aside, and you're going to do something about it, you hope. What have you introduced? Share that with the audience.
Yes, my bill is going to reverse Joe Biden's radical and unlawful reinterpretation of Title IX. In 1972, Congress enacted Title IX with the goal of increasing opportunities for women and girls, and now Joe Biden's radical rule will destroy all of that progress.
And it is something that is pandering to such a small number of voters. Well, first of all, I'm cynical enough to say this has nothing to do with what's right. It has to do with what potentially gets them elected. But it's such a small group of people, and heavens, it's backfiring in a big way among common ordinary citizens in your district.
This is very unpopular. They're on the wrong side of it. But this is continuing their agenda of trying to force the American people to deny reality. They want us to deny reality about the border being secure, about inflation raging, and now about, you know, biological men participating in girls' athletics, stealing their scholarship opportunities, and, you know, this is just horrifying, but forcing schools to allow these boys and men in girls' showers and private spaces.
This is the sort of thing that if you said to a person a year and a half, 2 years ago, we're going to let mature males share a locker room with females, and not just let them, we're going to mandate that the young women think it's okay, you would have suggested the male in there was some kind of a pervert, pedophile, something, to where they'd get arrested. And now it's blessed by the President of the United States.
Well, and maybe they are the perverts that they're promoting to be allowed into our girls' private spaces. But not only that, if you disagree with Joe Biden, he's going to punish you and take federal money away from your schools. And in addition, this is going to require coerced speech, and I can just foresee that teachers are going to be fired and students are going to be expelled for misgendering, you know, these other students that are pretending to be females.
Mary Miller, Congresswoman, 15th District of Illinois, joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. So the bill has been introduced. Where do you see this standing in a Congress with a limited Republican majority, election year, calendar is short because of campaigning, etc.? Where do you see this headed?
100% it's going to pass. Every Republican will support this. No one wants this. This is radical. It's divorced from reality. People want their children or their girls to be able to enjoy the opportunities that Title IX has been giving them since 1972. And voters will hold the Democrats accountable. And this is about, number one, the rights of girls and women, but also parental rights. And then also the rights of teachers and students to have free speech. I mean, I think that is very dangerous in light of coerced speech here and the misgendering of people.
Well, talk about the parental aspect. I don't have children, and so I don't often go to that as a place where I think of these things. But truly, this is usurping a parent's right to raise their children in the manner that they wish.
Yes, well, we know all across the country when students and parents or their fathers have pushed back, spoken up, protested, the girls have been kicked off teams or prohibited from participating in the future. And Joe Biden is pushing schools to hide things from parents, you know, if their children are struggling with different issues, that they're encouraging schools to keep that hidden from parents.
Congresswoman Mary Miller of Illinois joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. Were you at the meeting with former President Trump this morning?
I was. It was a great time. We're going to win. He's so strong. He's fired up. He's undeterred by the lawfare against him. And we're going to win big. We're going to take the House and the Senate. And he's got plans to flip us from America last back onto the America first track, and we all can't wait.
So when you hear him and see him and he displays that kind of positivity, does that help to unify the caucus? Because, again, it's a very limited majority, and there are folks who have different views on things. Is that the kind of rallying that is going to be helpful in getting some of these key pieces of legislation, the defense bill, for example, across the finish line in the House?
Yes, and we are unified on the key issues, and we're going to secure the border. We're going to get American energy going again. We're going to stand up for American families and parental rights and excellent education. And we're going to stand up against our enemies around the world. President Trump had great foreign policy. He knew how to push back on our enemies and use tariffs and different things to control our enemies.
I have to ask you, as a member of Congress from Illinois and as a farmer, are we going to get a five-year farm bill passed this year finally?
Well, we'll see. I'm not sure about that. We'll see.
Yeah, that did not sound confident. What's the biggest holdup?
I don't want to say.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, keep doing what you folks need to do, and continued success with this Title IX bill. Congresswoman, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yes, Congresswoman Mary Miller. She represents the 15th District of Illinois. And again, she introduced that legislation to reverse the Title IX change that lets any male who claims to be a female hang out in your daughter's locker room. That's what it comes down to, does it not? It is just about as simple as that. Congresswoman Miller joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. She is a member of the House Ag Committee, and so I thought I would ask, because something that you folks across the country need to understand, and many of you in rural America do, but every 5 years, supposed to be 5 years, there's a farm bill passed. And that name is a bit of a misnomer, because only 15% of the money in the bill has to do with farming. The other 85% has to do with delivering food to areas of the country through SNAP and some of these other programs. I don't even know what we call them these days. It used to be called food stamps. And they didn't get it done last year, so they kicked the can down the road with a one-year extension, and it's not looking good this year. And the problem is the people who produce your food, the prices for targets that are in this existing legislation are 7 years old. What has happened during Bidenomics? Everything has gone through the rough, and so those target prices, those reference prices, are woefully out of date. And unless Congress takes action, your ability to have good American-produced food available to you could be limited. And I thought her hesitation was telling. She's on the Ag Committee. They moved a bill through. What's holding it up? She didn't want to say. Well, we need some people who understand that we need to be self-sufficient in this country with energy, with food, with technology. Because you find me another nation in the world that is going to look out for American interests more than the United States does. And anymore with this America Last administration, I'm not sure we're looking out for our own interests, but at the very least, no one else is going to. And it's incumbent on Congress to take the steps that they need to take. Congresswoman Mary Miller of Illinois joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. The First Amendment is under attack in this country. You know that from all of the stories about the administration trying to squash social media, etc. But it's even more insidious than that. But you can help protect your constitutional rights, and that includes the First Amendment, just by using your cell phone. Here's how. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They always support freedom of speech and religion. And that's why this program is proud to partner with Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. And that means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to, but the money you pay every month does not go to left-wing causes. You see, when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, so many more. They're 100% U.S.-based. Thank you very much. Customer service team makes switching easy. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs, not theirs. Here's what you do. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. And by the way, regardless of whether you go online or call them, you get free activation with Patriot Mobile when you use the offer code Todd. So make the switch today, won't you? PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. We'll take your calls in the next segment. Actually, your calls for the rest of the hour, the rest of the program today. So line up. Lydia will take the calls and tell me who's there, and we'll talk to you across America. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Your calls in the next segment from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. And we'll take your calls from now until the top of the hour. Todd taking care of some business today. It's tough when you're, you know, traveling all around the country, talking about Twilight's Last Gleaming, etc. You got to take care of business when you can. So he'll be at the 2024 Reagan Day Dinner in Maury County, Tennessee, Columbia, Tennessee, tomorrow night, one of the key speakers. And so I'm sure he's looking forward to that. So everybody near Columbia, Tennessee, you're going to want to go to Maury, you know, like Povich, Maury, TNGOP.com, and have all the information you need about how to get tickets for that great event. Tommy Lahren will be there as well. And Todd Starn, that's sold out. Pardon me. Look at that. Nicely done, you people. Well, that's where he'll be tomorrow. Now, if you're used to watching Todd at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central, the rest of you do your own math, on Newsmax 2, Todd will be there today. So if you've missed your Todd fix with a poor substitute here sitting in, just go to Newsmax 2, 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central, the Todd Starn Show. Will be there as always. Todd is making his way to my home state of Iowa, and he is the main draw for our annual picnic, which we call Iowa Fest, and that's coming up on Saturday, June the 29th. And so if you're anywhere close and you'd like to make a weekend of it or drive on over, say hi to Todd, get a copy of the book, a picture, an autograph, and then make your way back, please do. We'd love to have you. Go to KXEL.com, that's my radio station, KXEL.com/Iowa Fest, all one word, and you can reserve the free tickets because, again, The tickets are free. By the way, I had a tremendous night's sleep last night. I had a tremendous night's sleep the night before, too. The reason is I have a MyPillow. I have MyPillow sheets. They are tremendous. I don't get paid to tell you. I'm just telling you, friend to friend, completely changed my sleeping. I used to have a huge problem. And then my wife said, let's get one of those MyPillows that they talk about on the radio and TV. And just immediate relief. Now, you know that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Part of cancel culture, don't you know? So they now are bypassing those stores that take a cut and therefore inflate the price. So he can now sell the pillows and all of the other great products cheaper because he's not having to give a cut to these stores that are far too woke. A lot of these businesses in this situation would have just pocketed the savings. Mike Lindell and MyPillow pass the savings on to you. And this is just unbelievable. It's a $25 extravaganza. You know, last month when I was here and I read this to you, I thought to myself, that can't be right. But it's right. $25. You recall when Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company, pillows. But thanks to the help of his dedicated employees in Minnesota and elsewhere, they now have hundreds of products. You might not even know about all of them. So check out this $25 extravaganza and learn about all these great products. For example, two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals for men and women, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, yep, $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with that all-new Giza fabric, they are also just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping as well. But this amazing offer cannot last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506, 800-839-8506, and be sure to use promo code STARNS. Short break now. Back on the other side, Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and this Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. 901-260-5926. That's how you can reach this program and join the Coast to Coast conversation. It is often said that decisions about who to vote for, elections, are based on kitchen table issues. In other words, we care more about domestic issues than we do international or foreign issues. We worry about how things are affecting our pocketbook. So I saw this posted on the socials, and it comes from a researcher who I believe can be trusted. She selected a few key items from the federal government's Consumer Price Index data, the CPI. And you have to be really careful this close to an election about how the job data, how the consumer price index, producer price index, all of these numbers are perhaps a little, shall we say, funky, because the party in power is the party in power and they always update these numbers later. Yes, I know they're supposed to be nonpartisan. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is, this is the federal government's data that they've posted online for everyone to see. And it shows a number of things that we know, but when you put them all together like this, it was striking to me. Since Donald Trump left office, since Joe Biden took office, gas has gone up 55.3%. Now, let's keep in mind, we're talking about not even 3.5 years. January 20, 2021 to today. That's not 3.5 years. Gas has gone up 55.3%. Now, that's a pretty major thing. If you're taking your kids to summertime events, even just taking them to school, commuting for work, or you think about taking a summer vacation, Gas prices, that's a huge thing, 55.3%. Well, that's fine then, you say, I'll just stay at home and I'll just eat here at home. Well, that's a great thought, but groceries, since Joe Biden took over, are up 21.2%. All right, I'll eat out. Yeah, well, eating out has gone up by 22.2% in just 3.5 years. Baby food, specialized product, that's up even more, 28.4%. And don't think that you're going to steal a few bites from Fido and Fluffy. Pet food in this country now costs 23% more than it did on January 20th of 2021. No wonder so many young people these days are living with their parents. Rent has climbed 21.2% in the last 3.5 years. Energy costs, we used to be energy self-sufficient, not anymore. And as a result, electricity has climbed by 29%, natural gas up 22.2%. It's going to make you want to just get out of town for a while. Well, the problem is travel not easy either. Used cars now cost 20.9% more, thanks to Bidenomics. Airfare, 39.9% higher. Public transportation even costs 27.2% more. Now, of those items that have been selected, most are in the range of 20 to 25% more. Keep that number in mind. On average, of those categories, 20 to 25% more that it costs as opposed to when Joe Biden took office. The federal government data also factors in your real average weekly earnings. They have actually dropped by 3.9% during the Biden presidency. The real average weekly earnings dropped, call it 4%. So all of these key things are up by 20, 25%. And your weekly earnings are down 4%. I tell you that, folks, because if it seems like you're falling behind, well, you probably are. And that's what's tragic about the state of our country today. We saw some surveys about how many dollars the average American family, how much more they have to pay per month. And I know when I go to the grocery store, in one of those big stores that was founded in Bentonville, Arkansas. If that helps give you a clue. That's my normal weekend ritual, hit both of those stores. I come out with fewer bags, and I'm paying more money. And it has been that way for the last 3.5 years. What was the rate of inflation when Donald Trump left office? 1.6. Sorry, Joe, it wasn't 9. You caused it to go to 9. So when you tell us now it's 2.8 or 3, isn't that great? No, because we haven't got back what we lost when it went to 9. When the rate of inflation is 3%, that's on top of what it has gone up during that big spike. So unless we have deflation, unless some month they say, you know what, inflation is at a negative number, we have lost ground that we will never, never get back. Precarious financial situation? Yeah, I would say so. That's not stopping this administration from coming out with bloated budgets, continued spending, the attitude of we can just keep printing money. Do you remember when this year started? The Fed Reserve said, we're going to cut interest rates 3 times in calendar year 2024. All things being the way they are, we'll cut rates 4 times. Do you know how many times they've cut rates? 0. Yesterday was the latest example. Inflation still too hot for the Fed. Maybe they'll cut rates in September, just in time for the election. as I understand it, they have like one chance left to cut rates before the election. And they even said yesterday, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, said they were looking at one interest rate cut during the last 6 months of this year. That's a far cry from, for sure, three at the beginning of the year to one now. And that's no guarantee. Now, again, I'm not saying that they should stupidly go forward and cut rates if it's not warranted. But the fact of the matter is, the economy is not robust. It is not what the federal government would like you to believe. And you know it because you're the one paying more for everything. But let's face it, the government spending is out of control. And you could probably count on one hand the number of people in Washington who have done anything meaningful to stop that. We've talked to two members of Congress in this program today. And as was pointed out in various ways, the basic thought is, you know, the U.S. House needs to do what the U.S. House needs to do, without worrying about what happens across the rotunda, without worrying about if the president will sign it. Because if you compromise too much in the House and abandon certain core beliefs, the Senate isn't going to play by the same rules. And then when you get to conference committee, you've already given up everything. And then you'll have to give up some more just to get something passed. How about pass the bill you want to pass? Well, that's not bipartisan. No, it's kind of how the system's supposed to work. In other words, if Republicans have the majority in the House and Democrats have the majority, quote unquote, in the Senate, shouldn't each side pass the best bill that they think they can? Because the system provides for a conference committee to then work out the settlement, the details. And isn't it better to argue from a position of strength when you have something to give away? I'm not talking about falsely throwing things into a bill so that you're playing a stunt game of negotiation. You know, when I was practicing law full time, sometimes we'd do settlements in civil cases, and one side would arbitrarily be low and one side would be arbitrarily high so they could both wind up meeting in the middle. I used to start at the middle and then just not move. It's like, look, we all know we're going to get to this point. You know, what's the point of me saying one, you saying 10? We know we're going to end at 5.5. So let's just do 5.5. Well, you've got to move some. No, I don't. No, I don't. And that's what should happen within each chamber. Republicans in the House should be Republicans in the House. Darn the Senate for whatever they do or don't do. Conference committee is where you then negotiate. You need to have this come from a position of strength. That has not happened. And it needs to, in order for the Republicans in the U.S. House to have earned the right for another couple of years in the majority. Now, that's just my view of how government ought to work. By the way, the Senate, Democrat majority in the Senate, there are 49 Republicans in the U.S. Senate. There are now 47 Democrats. 49 Republicans, 47 Democrats. There are four individuals who are voting as independents, or who come in as independents. Two of them, well, one's Bernie Sanders. Then the Senator Sinema from Arizona switched from Democrat to independent. Now Senator Manchin from West Virginia switches from Democrat to independent. Any one of those could all of a sudden decide not to caucus with the Democrats, and then what would happen? If you want to have fun when you're feeling really down, imagine a scenario. Now keep in mind again, 49 Republicans, 47 Democrats, and 4 independents. What if Manchin said, I'm going to start caucusing with the Republicans? Now who's got 50? Now, granted, if the other three all of a sudden still, you know, just stay with the Democrats, then it's a 50-50 and tie break with the vice president in this case, a Democrat. But just imagine, how much fun would that be? But again, that's just a fantasy as you sit by the pool this summer. Oh, who am I kidding? Who's sitting by the pool? You're all working for a living to pay for Joe Biden's inflation. One more segment from the Liberty University studio on the other side of this break. Still have time to hear from you at 901-260-5926. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio. Final segment of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd here in the state of Iowa. Good to have you along with us on the program. Todd taking care of a couple of things. He'll be back behind this microphone on Monday. Tomorrow he will be in Columbia, Tennessee for the County Republican event. And we're going to hand off tomorrow to two of the co-hosts of the Alabama Unfiltered radio program. Amy Beth Shaver and Allison Sinclair will host this program tomorrow over most of this same radio station. So two of the hosts of Alabama Unfiltered Radio filling in for Todd tomorrow. And as noted, he's back on the radio with you on Monday. If you need a Todd fix today, well, just go to Newsmax 2 at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central. Todd will be hosting his Newsmax 2 program today, and you don't want to miss that. You can catch it online, or I have it through, what's the stupid thing I have? Roku. Well, it's not stupid. It's a fine product, but it's what I have at home so that I can see some of these channels. You figure out how you can watch Starnes every weekday at 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern. Now, we've mentioned a few times that Todd is coming to the state of Iowa. And if you want to see Todd Starnes in person in Iowa, go to KXEL.com/IowaFest. That's KXEL.com/IowaFest. Free tickets. We're having a big old picnic. And so he's going to be flying up here a couple of weeks from today. He'll do his program from our studio just like I am in a couple of weeks. And then we have our big Saturday event. But, you know, I've got to worry about a lot of things because I'm the one, you know, kind of putting this on, right? I've got to worry that not just do we have the picnic set for a couple of hundred attendees and have some fine Iowa products, but he's going to be here a couple of days. And I don't know what his schedule is. I don't know, you know, what to have on hand. I mean, for example, I'm going to have to go contact the First Cup Coffee Company down there in Texas, and I don't know if he prefers the Carver, named after Iowa State graduate George Washington Carver, or does he prefer the Washington? I've heard him talk about both. So I'm going to have to get, you know, a couple of cases of pods because I don't know what kind of coffee addiction he has. And then I'm going to have to call somebody like Kirk Tyler over at Atlantic Bottling Company because, you know, Todd likes his Baptist martini, and so I'm probably going to have to get about three cases of Diet Coke. Because I don't know these things. And in between, you know, got to get him some food in there. Yes, we have our picnic, but that's not till Saturday. So obviously I'm going to have to call backyardbutchers.com and get them to send a bunch of burgers up here that we can put on the grill in the parking lot. This is tough. I don't know what he needs. I don't know. Maybe the staff can help me out. Because here's the other problem. Every day down in Memphis, now you folks listening at home may not know this, but every day down in Memphis, as the show begins, there is a side room and they bring in a full buffet. It's like the Sunday buffet at the fanciest hotel in Memphis. That's where Todd goes. And so there's this huge spread and a carving table and a chef, and everybody from the flagship, the Mighty 990, comes in and they have this wonderful meal every single day. I'm sure that's what happens. Well, I don't have that here. So, you know, do I, you know, run to the Quick Star and pick up a little something? By the way, every time we plug a product and they don't pay for it, we ring the bell. That's kind of to alert people that they got a freebie on that. So I don't know. I'm going to have to work this all out because, again, he's used to this chef curated meal that he provides for the staff. I don't have that. I mean, there might be a convenience store burrito I can hunt up for him, but Well, we'll just do the best we can. So if you have any ideas on how we can make Todd's visit to the state of Iowa more comfortable, any of the folks on the staff, let me know. By the way, thanks as always to Dylan for taking care of things on the board, Lydia for call screening, and Miss Grace for taking care of this wonderful list of guests that we had today. It's such a pleasure to do this program because there's such an excellent team behind it, and I know Todd appreciates their efforts and appreciates all of you for being along to listen. Once again, if you are interested in coming up to Iowa to see Todd Starnes, we'd love to have you. KXEL.com/IowaFest, free tickets, and we'd love to have you join us up here 2 weeks from Saturday. 2 weeks from today is supposed to be the first presidential debate of two. I have some real concerns about this because, you know, we've been set up to believe that Sleepy Joe is just going to fall over, but he always gets medicated enough to rise to the challenge. So that is a bit of a concern. I'm also afraid it's a bit of a trap because I think Trump does much better against Biden than any Democrat who hasn't held the office and makes a bunch of empty promises. If you've got Joe Biden's record against Donald Trump's record, well, that should be a winner in November, and I'm afraid this debate may lead Democrats to make a replacement. But that's for another day. Folks, it's been a privilege as always. Thanks for joining me here in the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein, you've been listening to The Todd Starnes Show.